columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Can we be there?
Ah, we are here.
Just think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Hard and love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing, Brandon Ray Stokely?
I'm doing great. Zachary David, bye. Why all you, good over here.
Why are you doing so great?
Oh, just, well, I mean, got great news this morning. Mike Shanahan going into the Denver Broncos Ring of Fame.
Man, how awesome is that?
That made my day. Really, really awesome. Obviously, well-deserved. And, you know, he was just a great football coach, and I was fortunate to play for him for a few years, and couldn't have enjoyed that experience more. Really was obviously a great football coach, but he's a great man. He's a great leader. And so just thrilled for him. What a great honor, great recognition, well-deserved. So that just made my morning. It made my day.
Well, you know, I feel your joy because I know how you feel about Coach Shanahan. I understand it full well. Because I have the same reverence and love for my former coaches. So I know where you're coming from with that unique connection. But when it comes to Mike Shanahan specifically, you're uniquely qualified to talk about him. What made Coach Shanahan so likable to so many? What made him great?
Well, he was just real. You know, he wasn't, he didn't tell you one thing and do another thing. So he was just real. And to start with, that's what you're looking for as a player. Hey, just be real with me, whether it's, you know, good or bad. Just shoot me straight. And look, you know, if he didn't like what you're doing, he's going to tell you to your face, hey, that's not right. And you hear people about people being in, you know, Mike Shanahan's doghouse, right? I mean, you heard those types of stories. And you know, I got here, and I'm like, how do these people end up in Mike Shanahan's doghouse? Well, if you were in Mike Shanahan's doghouse, it's because you weren't a worker. You didn't compete. You know, you didn't love football, those types of things. That's how you ended up in Mike Shanahan's doghouse.
Yeah.
So Mike was just real. He kept it real all the time. And, you know, I certainly appreciated that. And I know most everybody did. So as a player, that's what you're looking for. You know, and when he had to be strict and he had to, you know, put the hammer down and discipline, you know, people or the team, he did it. But also, you know, he was very approachable. So I think that's a hard thing to do. It's a fine line to walk for a head coach because you want to have discipline. You want guys to respect you and respect your authority. But at the same time, you know, he was very approachable, and you could talk to him about anything. And if you wanted certain things changed for practice or things like that, you know, you could approach him. Well, Champ Bailey could approach him. Champ was his guy. It was. But that's how he was. And it's a hard thing to do for a head coach, and certainly a guy of his stature that when I got there, you know, obviously had won a couple Super Bowls, but
right.
He was just a real, real person. But also just a great football coach.
Did you get to know him as a person while you were a player, or did that come after?
A little bit, but more so after. More so after. So it was a little bit, though. But got to know him, you know, off the field a lot more here since I've been retired, and certainly have enjoyed our relationship and our friendship that we have to this day. Really do, and just think the world of him. You know, thought the world of him as a football coach, but even more so just as a guy, and just such a good guy, and down to earth. You know, generous and just a really, really good guy. So,
were you ever in his doghouse?
Thrilled for him. Me?
Yeah.
No. Never. I never was in his doghouse. Nope.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of, anyway. You know, like I said, I mean, you know, for Coach, I mean, if you're in his doghouse and you heard stories, and I get here, and it's, and I just kind of scratching my head because, look, if you just do your work, if you work and grind and love football and compete and want to win, I mean, that's what he's looking for, you know.
Right.
But he's not going to put up with that other stuff.
Right.
He's going to call you out on it. And so that's how you got in his doghouse. It's just if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, really, But that's what most guys, you know, liked about him and appreciated about him.
Sure, sure.
He wasn't afraid to call you out.
Well, you know what? I love that how excited you are today and that it made your day. I certainly have a ton of respect for Coach Shanahan, and really as everyone should. I mean, the Denver Broncos, you know, you can't, you know, oftentimes they say this with like the Pro Football Hall of Fame, say you can't write the history without the history of the league right. without this guy. Well, I mean, the Broncos are an incomplete sentence without Mike Shanahan. It just simply put. And you look at the history of the organization, you know, we have to remember that Mike Shanahan, and I say this, and I got to caution myself because I said we have to remember, not like folks forgot, but someone sure. for someone like me who didn't grow up saturated in this market, I kind of have to remind myself that before he was ever the head coach, he was an assistant coach on three different Super Bowl teams.
Yes.
So you're talking about...
Myself also.
Right. Okay. Right. So,
yeah,
so,
same
so,
thing
yeah,
for me.
Yeah. So, like, we have to, you know, emphasize that in addition to him bringing the first ever Super Bowl to Denver. And then to follow it up, the Broncos have three Super Bowls to their organization's history. Two of the three are under Mike Shanahan. Three previous Super Bowls, he was an integral part of it. So, you know, that is why, in part, that, you know, I was a little bit irritated that it didn't come sooner. And I this is definitely not to take away from today. But, you know, I thought, you know, let me just bring you into my morning here.
Bring me into your morning, Zach.
I tweeted, I said, NFL fans who aren't super tapped into the Broncos are probably like, wait, Mike Shanahan wasn't already in their Ring of Fame? Nope.
Okay, yep.
The answer as to why it took until 2020 is confusing, but at the same time, simple. Glad it's finally happening for him. Lord knows he deserves it. About 4 minutes after I fire this tweet off, my phone is ringing, and it's the Denver Broncos. And they want to, you know, talk to me. And I'll just tell you, it was Eric Schubert. It was right there, second in command of the PR office. And this is not the first phone call I've gotten from the Broncos. And I have a good relationship with those guys. And it's always respectful dialogue, although sometimes there is an underlying tension, as is often the case. That's how, I see it coming on my phone. I say, okay, here we go. And, you know, part of what they wanted to emphasize to me was that, you know, what they said was in their bylaws, there's like a probationary period of like is either 4 or 5 years after right. they're done with football.
Right.
And my response to that was, those are your bylaws. This is an institutional thing. You make the rules. You can do whatever you want. John Elway did not wait the probationary period to go up into the Ring of Fame. Why? Because he's that great. His importance to the organization was that emphatic that you would waive those bylaws. Well, I would argue that the same goes for Mike Shanahan. He is unequivocally the greatest coach in the history of the Denver Broncos. He coached here the longest. He won the most games. He brought the first title. He won two Super Bowl titles, two of the three. So if there ever was two people that you were going to waive the institutional, that means it's made up by them. If you were ever going to waive that clause, you would do it for a guy like John Elway, and you would do it for a guy like Mike Shanahan. And by the way, and I also said this to him, he was up last year for it, and he didn't go in last year for it. So in my opinion, it was overdue. But that being said, that's okay. It's like Larry Walker going to the Hall of Fame. That it's not the point that he had to wait a little bit longer. The point
is barely snuck in or whatever,
right.
You know, whatever it is. Right.
The point is Larry Walker's a Hall of Famer. And the point yes. today, although I have grievances with the steps leading up to this point, the point today is that Mike Shanahan is going up in the ring where he belongs.
Absolutely. And, you know, could they have bent the rules if they wanted to? Sure, they can do that for anybody. But, you know, you probably shouldn't do it at all. You know, hey, it doesn't matter if you're John Elway, you're Mike Shanahan, whoever. You're going to wait the 5 years. That's kind of why we have the 5-year wait list or whatever it may be. It is what it is for me. Certainly he could have gone in earlier, but he's going in now. It's all good. And I'm just happy for him. And I know that he's ecstatic about it, and he feels great about it. And so just thrilled that he is going in like he should be. And, you know, like could have been earlier. Sure, it's not. But it kind of that's like you said, that's really besides the point here.
Yeah.
So
yep.
just thrilled. Well deserved, and it's going to be a great honor, great recognition. Now, he won't be going in until 2021.
That's right.
Because of, you know, all the circumstances that are going on, which is great. You know, try to, you know, what are you going to do this year if they even are playing football games and
right.
probably no fans? And I mean, what are you going to do? So put it to 2021. Awesome. Love it. He'll get the recognition. He'll get the welcome and the love that he deserves. So really looking forward to seeing him go into the Ring of Fame in 2021.
Well, you know what? And I'm glad that you differentiated this year from next year, because he does deserve, and hopefully by next football season, by 2021, we have a vaccine, there's a full stadium, because when Mike Shanahan goes in there, and same with Peyton, because it feels like they're both going to go in together, and they deserve that moment to have 75,000 people on their hands, or on their feet, clapping their hands, hollering their name. They deserve that moment. So I like you, am glad that they are waiting an extra year. And I have no issue with, you know, because there's a thought out there that this guy deserves his own year. Like,
right.
you know, one guy. So that's part of what was said to me this morning from the Broncos in our phone call, that, you know, part of the reason that they wanted to wait for Mike is because they wanted Champ to have his own year, which
sure.
which I understand, too. But the fact that it could be, and it feels like it will be, and we'll see how it breaks out, but Peyton and Mike going in on the same night, boy, that could be a tough ticket to get.
What do you make of that? I mean, what do you think about that? Should they have their own year? You know, should we just push it back and say, yeah, we know you're up this year, Peyton. Guess what? You're going to have to wait. You're going in the Hall of Fame anyway, so you're just going to have to wait 1 year for the Broncos Ring of Fame. Should they do it that way? Should they put them both in? Should they let, you know, just Mike have that moment by himself? Let Peyton have that moment the next year by himself? How do you view it?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think there's a wrong answer to this question. In my opinion, okay, you're asking me, Zach.
I didn't ask anybody else. I don't think anybody else is on here, are they?
No, it's just us.
Okay.
Perfect world, they should each have their own year. Okay, again, I don't think there's a wrong answer, but in a perfect world, I think Mike should have his night. I don't think Peyton would have a problem waiting one more year. Like you said, he's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a congested class anyway, right? There's going to be like, how many guys are going to go in the Pro Football Hall of Fame next year?
Like 50.
It's going to be a bunch. So in a perfect world, Mike goes in next year, Peyton goes in the following year, Eddie Mack goes in the year after that. How about that?
That sounds good. I think it would be cool, man. You put both of those guys in. I know they both really respect each other and are really good friends. And I think it would be cool. Obviously, like you said, there's really no wrong way to go about it. I think it'd be cool if you put them both in at the same time. You could do it like you said. There's really, I don't think, a wrong answer here. As long as they're both kind of open and receptive to doing it together, and I think they both would be. You know, you're talking about two people,
sure.
Peyton and Mike Shanahan. Those guys don't have egos, and I think they would be A-OK sharing that night together and probably embracing going in together. You know, two legends of the game, I think they would probably think it's really cool going in together. But if they wanted to do their own night, then that's fine also. So we'll see what it looks like, I guess. I know sometimes, especially if a guy's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you want to get him into the Ring of Fame first.
Right.
Right, so you can say, you know, Broncos Ring of Fame, or all, you know, when
sure.
you list their accolades and stuff like that, Bronco Ring of Famer is one of them, right? I mean, they think about that stuff, and they probably want that to be on that resume of that player going into the National Football League Hall of Fame.
I.e. John right? Lynch, right?
Yes,
I think certainly. That was a big part of why the Broncos chose to put John Lynch with just, 4 years of Bronco service time into the ring to bolster that resume, to push him through. And this is, you know, this is part and parcel of my issues with the institutional, like, granting this and not that. Because it's a group of human beings that are deciding who goes in and who doesn't. And they're Bronco-centric. They're Bronco broadcasters. They're Bronco brass. So
It's once again, it's people voting on things.
Yes,
right? So
yes.
What happens when people vote on things? I mean, everybody has an agenda. People have agendas, right? Do they like the guy? Do they not like the guy? What's people's agendas, right? I mean, that's just the way that's the way it's always going to be. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame is no different than the Broncos Ring of Fame. I mean, people have agendas. And so that's the voting process when individuals do it. So, I mean, look, it's the Broncos. They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want.
It's set up this way. They can do whatever they want. So.
It'd be like us having a fan Hall of Fame.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Maybe we need a fan Hall of Fame. We should do a fan Ring of Fame. Right? And...
You going to give out those rings?
I'm going to give one to myself, Stokely and Zach, and the first one's going. Just kidding. but yeah, it's people. It's people. And it's fun to debate. You know, it's fun to debate who belongs in, who maybe, you know, was given some graces by getting in. But when I ask you the question, who's the next guy that should be going in? Who should be going into the Broncos Ring of Fame? We know Peyton's going in. We know Coach Shanahan's going in.
Oh, we know Peyton's going in?
Peyton's going in.
Oh, I mean, but you asked me who the next one is. Well, it's got to be Peyton.
It's got to be.
Besides Peyton. You want to say besides Peyton?
Peyton was so great. It's so obvious that he's going in.
Yes.
So is it three names immediately come to mind.
Okay.
Al Wilson, Steve Foley. The all-time interception leader, 44 interceptions with the Broncos.
Huh.
And Ed McCaffrey, a top five receiver in the history of the organization, was part of some great moments, all-time Bronco zenith moments. Ed McCaffrey was intertwined in the DNA of that thing. And he's got the numbers. He's got the moments. He is a Bronco. Like, when you think of Ed McCaffrey, he's a Bronco.
Yeah.
So, to me, the next three qualified guys, Eddie Mack, Al Wilson, Steve Foley. What do you think of those three names?
Well, I don't know a lot about Steve Foley, so I'll just throw that out there. You know, I'm not a Bronco historian here,
sure.
So I'll throw that out there. I don't know a lot about Steve Foley, so I'm just going to take him kind of out of the equation because I don't know enough to talk on him. Obviously, Al Wilson, I played against a guy, never was teammates with him. I got here right when he had the neck issues and he was kind of done playing. So, but I played against a guy, and you knew where Al Wilson was. He was like John Lynch on defense. Like, you knew where that guy was.
Right.
Right in the middle of the defense, and he's going to take your head off. Old school linebacker that played the right way, tough as they get. So I think you know, I think of the world of that guy, just competing against him and knowing what kind of player he was and also hearing the stories about him, you know, when I got here. You still heard stories about Al Wilson. So
five-time Pro Bowler, Stoke. Former first-team All-Pro. He was a second-team All-Pro. Played with the Broncos from 1999 to 2006. His whole career was with the Denver Broncos.
And they had a really good defense for a while there. You're talking about him, DJ Williams, and Ian Gold, those three linebackers. I mean, golly, those guys could run, they could hit, they were all over the place. So three really good linebackers there, and he was that man in the middle. So he was the captain of that group. And then I look at Eddie Mack, and obviously, like you said, he did so much here, and you think of Ed, and you think of just doing whatever it takes to help the team win football games, and did it for a long time here at a high level. Won two Super Bowls, so I'll give an edge to Eddie Mack on this one. Going in, you know, after you know, you got Mike Peyton, and then Eddie Mack. I think he deserves to be in. It's probably overdue for him also. So, but I think at some point he does deserve to get in, and I would put him probably next on the list. I think I've been saying this for a couple of years now.
You have.
Yeah.
You have. And a lot of Broncos country has. And a lot of Broncos country is confused to why he's not in already. I mean, we have to remember, and I said this on the phone earlier to a member of the Broncos, there's been years where they decide no one goes in. Right? It was just 2 years ago that they just took a year off.
Yeah.
And so we can talk about guys who are, you know, backlogged like Al Wilson or Steve Foley or Ed McCaffrey, but they've taken years off. There's enough great players with a great history like Ed McCaffrey, who won two Super Bowls, who's a top five receiver, who's an integral part of what the Broncos did in the 90s. He should be in, plain and simple. So, you know, we'll just have to agree to disagree. On a lot of this stuff, but I believe, and I think you do too, that Ed's time is coming. It's got to be coming. Al Wilson's time is coming. Steve Foley's time is coming. And when it does come, we'll be talking about those guys on that day, like we're talking about Shanahan today, Coach Shanahan today, that, you know,
put
okay,
some respect on that
put
thing.
Some respect on his name.
That's right.
In that, yes, it took a little bit longer, but the point is they did end up there, and I believe that those days are coming.
Yeah, yep. I'm with you there. Their time will be here today. You know, just great news. Mike Shanahan going into the Broncos Ring of Fame. Really, really great news. And, you know, we won't see it this year, but we'll see it in 2021. And hopefully that stadium's able to be packed and he gets that standing ovation and that love and that appreciation from Broncos country that he deserves. And it's going to be a great moment. And I can't wait to, and hopefully I'll be able to be there. And so it's gonna be awesome. But that just made my morning when I saw that. I was kind of running around doing stuff in the morning, kind of messing around, and I saw that. I was like, oh, how awesome is that? So really, really great news for Coach Shanahan and his family, and you know, his wife Peggy. She's awesome. She's just so cool and so awesome. And Mike, you know, I was fortunate to play for him. But then now my just having a friendship with him is just
that's great, man.
That's great.
I'll share this real quick on the way out. One of the cool things I got to do in the first 6 months when I moved to Denver is be a part of the boys and girl Boy Scouts and the dinner, and Coach Shanahan was the keynote speaker, and going the night before and meeting Cherry Creek Golf Club over there. That's exactly right. And met Coach and got to shake his hand and tell him how much respect I have for him and have a photo of he and I. And that's something that I'm going to have forever. So a lot of great Mile High memories were made with Coach Shanahan when he was here with the Broncos. And Mile High Memories presented by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. In honor of episode 10, this week's topic will be the top 10 trades in Denver sports history.
Oh,
that is going to be an interesting listen. Episode 10 drops this weekend. Episode 9 on the 1990 CU Buffs with Les Shapiro joining Sandy. I'll tell you what, if you're going to do a Hall of Fame of Denver sports personalities, Les Shapiro has got to be a part of that conversation. He joined Sandy. And that's available now wherever you download your podcast or at 1043thefan.com. So these have been great. Can't wait to listen to this 1990 CU Buffs. I haven't got to it yet. I definitely will. And we got the top 10 trades in Denver sports history dropping this weekend. So that train continues to roll down the tracks. All right. Mahomes. Hey, there's a new term out there.
Oh, is there?
In my lexicon, there is.
Oh, lexicon.
Mahomes money.
You have a lexicon?
I got a lexicon, baby.
Oh.
And it's Mahomes money.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Mahomes new deal and the details that came out after we got off the air, after we've taken a step back and looked at this thing, a comprehensive view of what it is, what do we make of it moving forward. I'll share some of those details with you next. Man, so much reaction to the conversation that we were just having on the RamosLaw.com text line. Talking like 50, 60 text messages, all very opinionated, and you know, a little bit of pushback here, agreement there. And I absolutely love it. Can't get back to everyone, but want to let you know that I do see it, and I appreciate you guys' interaction. You can hit us up at 303-713-1043. Happy birthday to a fellow that calls himself the Giraffe.
Oh,
he said, "Hey,
nice.
the giraffe here." He goes, "Hey, the giraffe here. Can I get a happy birthday shout out from my two favorite radio hosts?" Absolutely, the giraffe. You just keep being your long neck self, man, and have a great birthday. All right.
Happy birthday, giraffe. Love it. Appreciate you, my man. Appreciate you. That is awesome.
Well said,
Zach.
Anything goes on the RamosLaw.com text. Like, call yourself whatever you want. All right. The details of the Mahomes deal. We were not sure the nuts and bolts of it when we were on the air yesterday. A lot of it came out in the couple hours after we threw it to our friends, The Drive. But what do we got here? We got 10 years, 10-year extension worth up to $503 million. That number did have a five in front of it, like Lewis Riddick said. It includes $477 million in guarantee mechanisms, which I never heard that phrase until yesterday. And the ability, this is from Schefter, and the ability for Mahomes to have outs if guarantee mechanisms aren't exercised. Mahomes was represented on the deal by Chris Cabot and Lee Steinberg. We know Lee Steinberg, right? $140 million injury guarantee. What do you make of that number?
Let me just break down what that guarantee mechanism is from what I've gathered.
Okay.
What it means that the base salaries become fully guaranteed by the team not cutting him 2 years prior on a rolling basis.
Whoa. You got to repeat that for me.
And then you can try to break it down however you want. So I reached out to somebody and asked them about this, and this is what they said it was.
Okay.
So they don't cut him.
Somehow I knew those weren't your words.
Right.
It was just a hunch.
Oh, it's just a hunch, huh?
Just give me that again.
Yeah, okay. It means that the base salary, so his base salary for the year, it becomes fully guaranteed by the team not cutting him 2 years prior. Okay, so they didn't cut him this year, then in 2 years that base salary would become fully guaranteed.
Okay.
Something like that, okay, is what I was told. I had never heard of the darn thing either, Zach. I was like, what is a guaranteed mechanism?
Right?
Anyway, look, I was underwhelmed by the contract, by the guarantees, by the total guarantees. Like, what is totally guaranteed? And you see the injury guarantee? Okay, that's good. 146 or whatever it was million.
I thought it was 140. Is it 146?
140. Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't know exactly. Right around there. 140. Okay. Man, we were talking about how much was going to be guaranteed yesterday, and I just looked at that number and I was like, wow, well, the contract, you know, it looks big on the surface, but in the end, how much is guaranteed is what really matters. And to me, he didn't get enough guaranteed. He didn't get enough guaranteed out of that contract. And now he just signed a 10-year contract, which is he's got 12 more years. And now they have all the leverage. He has no more leverage. They have all the leverage. They do what they want with him. And we also got to remember here, this salary cap, Zach, guess what's going to happen to the salary cap? Yeah, right now, probably next year, might take a little bit of a dip.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, this thing is going to skyrocket. Gambling money and TV deal are coming in a big way.
Mm.
And he will be underpaid shortly.
Yes,
he will be underpaid shortly. He took a bad deal. He settled for a deal. He had all the leverage, and he should have taken advantage of it, and he didn't do that. And in a few years, he'll look back and he'll start kicking himself because he won't have the leverage ever again. Ever again, he won't have the leverage like he just had, and he gave it away, and he could have done better.
You know what? The longer that we have examined this, and other smart people have examined this, the idea that the Kansas City Chiefs are, you know, waving the white flag on signing other players because of this Mahomes deal is going to tie them up, I think is crazy. I think it's crazy. This idea that, oh, well, now Kansas City's not going to be able to pay anyone else. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think that was like a purveying thought like here in Broncos country that, oh, just wait until Kansas City has to pay Mahomes. Then they're screwed. Then their whole salary cap is tied up. No, that's not the case. And you hit on a very important point when you used the G word, gambling money. It is about to open a floodgate from coast to coast. Now, Americans, gambling on football is like peanut butter and jelly, okay? That's just what Americans have done for years, but it's got increasingly popular in the last 10 to 15 years with fantasy football. But now that states like Colorado, like New York, are opening the floodgates on legal gambling where you'll be able to sit on your couch 5 minutes before tip-off or 5 minutes before kickoff and say, you want to know what? I really like the Broncos getting 7.5 here. Let me load $20 instantaneously into my FanDuel account, into my DraftKings account. That is going to generate more eyeballs to the sport. The one thing my wife likes to do throughout the sporting year is she loves to fill out that bracket. She's got simply $20 of her own money, and it's invested, and she's rooting for Creighton basketball like she, her life's on the line. But you're now going to be able to open it up to more and more people, novice, fringe fans, that can throw $5, $10, $100 on a game. And it's just going to generate so much money for the sport to make it even more popular. And that's a huge part of why, in time, that salary cap will go up. You hit it, man.
Yeah, in a big way. And so I did reach out to a NFL agent, and he said he would have never done that deal. That was his words to me. I would have never done that deal. You know, hearing that, seeing the numbers, seeing the you know, knowing the type of leverage that he has, then you look around and you look at a guy like Kirk Cousins, and you scratch your head. And Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. He's not a special quarterback by any means. But he has the leverage, and all he's doing is taking the approach of signing these short-term deals and betting on himself that a good quarterback's going to continue to get paid, and that's what he's done. He was going into the last year of his deal. Boom. They redid it, put a couple more years on it. Now he's got another, you know, $70 million guaranteed or whatever it is.
Yep.
Russell Wilson signed a shorter-term deal, right? Sign a shorter-term deal and have all of it guaranteed. You know, Mahomes could have signed a 5-year deal and got, I don't know, 200 guaranteed if he wanted to play hardball with them. If he wanted to play
or at least the $140 million guaranteed that he already got.
He could have easily got that guaranteed.
Jared Goff got $110 million guaranteed.
Exactly. He could have got that easily guaranteed if he would have just waited it out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And so you look at a guy, you know, different sport, and somebody brought it up to me last night on Twitter, but LeBron James. Right, he just bets on himself every single year.
Yep.
And he hadn't signed a 5 or 6 year
no.
deal.
He hadn't done that in a long time.
Right. So he's betting on himself, and guess what he has? And guess what he keeps hold of is leverage. Leverage is so important. And so, you know, if he doesn't like the way things are going, the way things are being managed, now, you know, he can just say, all right, well, I'm moving on. See ya. I'm going to go get paid somewhere else. They'll pay me my $30, $35, $40, whatever million dollars. And I'll sign my 1-2 year deal, 1 year with an opt out, you know, or 2 year with an opt out after one is kind of what you see a lot of also in basketball. So I just think that he had the leverage. And then once you have the leverage, you got to use it. And, you know, now all of a sudden it's gone. It's gone. And look, it's a ton of money. It's a ton of money. I know people are just like, what are you talking about? Look at that contract. Yeah, it's a lot of money. It is a lot of money. It was going to be a lot of money no matter what he did.
Right.
He wasn't going to screw that up.
Right.
Right. It was going to be a ton of money regardless, but he could have got more of it guaranteed, and that's what you want. You want the guaranteed money, and you want a shorter-term deal because this salary, everybody knows the salary cap's going to be going up in 3, 4, 5 years. We're going to look back and say, oh, my gosh. 5 years ago, salary cap was here. Now it's, you know, risen by, you know, $70 million per team.
Right.
And, you know, that's what he should have done. He should have realized that and signed that 3 or 4 year deal. And then he'll be, you know, becoming a free agent again when he's, you know, whatever age, he'll be late 20s. And he could have got the whole thing guaranteed. Kirk Cousins got his whole contract guaranteed.
He did.
How could Patrick Mahomes not get his whole contract guaranteed if he did a 3, 4, 5 year deal? If he wanted to play a little bit of hardball and use his leverage, he could have got a much better deal.
Well, a part of this is I don't think it's because, like, Patrick Mahomes' agent, you know, like Lee Steinberg is not wise to this conversation. I think a part of this has to be like an agreement from Patrick Mahomes that, first of all, he wants to be a Kansas City Chief for life. You would never even entertain the idea of this, let alone sign it, if that's not where he wanted to be.
Yep.
So we know that. And if you want to be there, he wants to win. He was up. I don't know if you saw this. He was up working out at 7 o'clock in the morning, this morning, the day after. He's not hung over from signing a deal. Or maybe he's trying to sweat it out. I don't know. But he's up at 7 o'clock this morning working. And he's asked why. And you know what his answer was? I have rings to collect. His answer this morning. Yeah, bling bling is right. Every time I come around your city, bling bling.
Bling bling.
So he wants to win. So this is actually, and from where I'm sitting now and my view of it, it's, I don't want to say worst case scenario. It's not a good scenario for the other teams in the division because you're having a guy almost compliant with a team-friendly contract. And that's kind of what this is.
Yep.
So it gives the Kansas City Chiefs the flexibility. I mean, the next 3 years, they're going to be able to do whatever they want. I think he's taking in the next 3 years like $63 million worth of cap space. I mean, holy crap. So you have a player that wants to win and is compliant with the organization. He's signing a decade-long extension that's team-friendly. It's not the best-case scenario for his pocket, but it may be the best-case scenario for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, I think the Chiefs organization won here. I mean, they got him locked up for the next 12 years. I mean, they got their centerpiece locked up for the next 12 years. I mean, that never happens. Never. I mean, you don't see these types of deals. We talked about it yesterday. 3-4 guys signed deals like this. Quarterbacks, you just don't see it, especially, you know, giving up. I mean, he's given up all his free agent years. I mean, all of them.
Right.
And he's just throwing in the towel and saying, I'm done. I'm giving all those things up, which, look, I know it's a ton of money. But at the same time, he actually could have done better. And what I hate to see is, you know, you can look at it, you could say, you know, and you do it a lot, and a lot of us do it a lot, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is going to be this and that in 6-7 years. We don't know. And nobody knows what's going to happen in 6 or 7 years. Right, we can all project that he's going to be a great quarterback and he's going to continue the success. But man, we've seen crazy things happen on the football field, and we've seen some bad things happen, and we've seen guys just all of a sudden lose it for whatever reason. So, you know, now you just tossed away all your leverage. I mean, all your leverage is gone. It's in the team's hands, and they can operate the way that they want to operate at that time. So, that's a long, long deal that he just signed, and it just I thought he should have got a lot more of it, just totally guaranteed.
Well,
this is what I'm getting right when I signed this contract, and this is how much of that contract I'm going to get, and anything less than 50% of it to me is just mind-boggling. He would take a deal like that.
It really is. Yesterday, I was predicting he was going to get $300 million guaranteed.
Well, Zach, I said I said a $375 million contract with all of it guaranteed.
Right.
All of it.
Right.
I said the whole thing's going to be guaranteed. I mean, Kirk Cousins got, you know, his whole contract guaranteed on a 3-year deal. Jared Goff got $110. If you're going to sign a 10-year deal, I figured, man, they got to blow him away with a contract then. I mean, they got to have a ton of it guaranteed. Nope.
And do you know how much Kirk Cousins, by the way, Kirk Cousins has made, in the last 4 seasons of football, $96 million. In the last 3 seasons of football, over $75 million. Patrick Mahomes showed us yesterday, unfortunately for us, he showed us yesterday that it is not simply about the money. It is not all about the money. And it's hard to, and I know it's difficult to hear that, take a look at the numbers and say, well, you sound like an idiot. You just got $140 million guaranteed. That's the highest guaranteed number in the history of NFL football. But he could have truly shattered that number if he wanted to. And yeah. and used the phrase that you used, played hardball. And it's hard to look at the details of this thing when you take a step back within the framework of how much money it is. Yes. But to say that he squeezed every dime out of the Kansas City Chiefs is just, I'm not even close to having that conversation.
Right, and you don't have to squeeze every dime out of them. You could be a good partner with them, but you don't need to give up all your free agency and all your leverage along the way. And that's kind of what I keep going back to is the leverage aspect, because, you know, I talked about it with Andrew Luck. You talked about it with Kirk Cousins. I mean, when you have it as a player, you have to use it, right? I mean, Von Miller, he had so much leverage after the Super Bowl. You know, they franchise him. What happens? He gets a long-term deal. Well, hey, time's coming up here pretty soon where Von's leverage is going to be gone, right? And then now the ball's in the team's court. So Von used it appropriately. He got paid. Good for Von. So when you have it as a player, you got to use it, and you got to use it, and you got to do it the right way, because once it's gone, you'll probably never get it again. You might have it once in your career. Quarterbacks, some really good ones, you know what, play into their 40s. Now, they'll have it a few times, but he just gave, you know, I mean, he's locked up for 12 years.
Yep.
I mean, he's that's a long, long time. And, you know, you're looking at the Chiefs, and he's like, oh, he wanted to do a team-friendly deal to sign more players, and, you know, that's hogwash, man. That is so hogwash. You look.
It's low-hanging fruit. It's easy. It's dumb.
That's what teams want to tell the fans, because if a player drives a hard bargain, you know, then the fans will turn on the player and take the team side. Okay, you can manage, you can manipulate a salary cap if you want to be creative, and if you want to spend money, you can do so many different things to a salary cap as an organization to free up money to sign different players. It's just crazy. And so to say that Mahomes, well, he's all about winning and this and that, that's why he took a lesser deal. No. Don't ever do that if you're a player. Don't buy. Don't believe the hype coming from organizations when it comes to contracts and team-friendly deals, because they want to, you know, spend money elsewhere, and I want to sign players. And nope, that's what a team tells people, because you know, they want to save money, and ultimately that's what ends up happening. They get to save money, so they can do what they want, and the cap's only going to go up so much. I mean, it's going to go up so much money that it wouldn't even matter anyway. So
right, and by the end of this thing, and yes, there's a chance that, and there's maybe a good chance that this thing gets renegotiated along the way.
Yeah,
right?
It
definitely could. But if it doesn't, by the end of this thing, Mahomes will not be the highest paid quarterback in the league, and more than likely, he won't be in the top five. The way that this thing is going to increase with the young quarterbacks in this league that are going to be up in the next 4 to 5 years, you know, Mahomes, like, what this shows me about Patrick Mahomes is that he wants to win. He wants Kansas City to have some level of flexibility while being uber rich and generational wealth and all that stuff, because he's getting all that. But it shows me that he wants to win, man. He wants to win. He wants to collect championships. And in his mind right now, he probably wants to be a go down as, of course he does. He wants to go down as the greatest of all time. And he's on a great track for that. So
I look at it and I say his agent should have gave him better advice. Should have gave him better advice here.
I'll say this, and I have no idea if he'll get back to me, but I'll reach out to Lee Steinberg, and I'll send him a message on Twitter. We follow each other. I'll send him a message and see if, you know, I can get a comment, or see if he's even willing to come on the show. But I think your hands may be tied as an agent if the player you're representing
absolutely
is saying, no, I want to be in a position where, yes, I am resetting the market, but at the same time, giving my team, because winning is so important to me, giving them a certain level of flexibility where we're able to retain Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill.
I just told you, don't believe that hype, and the agent should tell them, don't believe that. No, don't. They still have flexibility. We can get more money here. They still have flexibility. We can get more money guaranteed, at least. You know, and they can still have that flexibility. Don't believe the hype that teams try to tell you that, you know what, oh man, we can't pay this now. Our salary cap's going to be so jacked up. Well, no, don't buy that. Don't buy it. So he could have got more money guaranteed, and the Chiefs would have still been fine. They would have been fine, because this salary cap's only going up here, and they've already signed Kelce. They've already signed Tyreek Hill. So they're in a really good position. They want to sign Chris Jones. They could go right now and make Chris Jones the highest-paid defensive lineman and be fine. I mean, they can do these types of things with just a little bit of cap manipulation if they really want to do it. And if they really want to spend the money, they can make it happen, and they can do it.
So hearing everything you're saying, understanding what I'm saying, and gaining context here in the last 12 hours or so, 15 hours, this is a great deal for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a terrible deal for the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. Is that right?
Well, I think that's well said. I think anytime that somebody signs a 10-year extension, and he's one of the best in the game right now, if not the best, at the quarterback position, and you're going to have to see that guy twice a year. Yeah, no, that's not good news. That's not good news. Now, I don't think anybody thought that he was going to be getting away from Kansas City anytime soon, but you look at the contract, and you almost feel like the Chiefs got a bargain there, and that they probably will be getting a bargain here in a couple years. We'll look back and say, oh, my goodness, man, Patrick Mahomes is underpaid. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
In a couple years,
yep,
we're going to look back and say, Patrick Mahomes is underpaid.
Yep. Agree. And that's it's scary.
It is a whole lot of money.
That is a whole lot of money.
A whole lot of money. But still, a whole lot of money. You know, one great philosopher said two things can be true at the same time.
That's a smart dude, whoever that is.
Yeah, I forgot the name.
But you remember the face.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at it, and it's a whole lot of money, but, you know, it could have been a whole lot more money.
Yep. All right. Have a little bit of news that is coming from the most unlikely source ever. All right, we'll get to that here in just a minute. It's NFL news. I'll tell you what that is. Also, there is a decision that will be made tomorrow by some really smart people, Stoke, that could directly affect your sports viewership starting next month. Details next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.